This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Welcome to all of you who are joining us today. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and with me on the line is Marnie Swedberg of Marnie.com, and that's M-A-R-N-I-E. Welcome, Marnie.
Hey, welcome, Felice. Hi, everybody.
Well, Marnie, you are in a very cold area in Minnesota, and I am in Florida with a balmy, I think it was 59 this morning, which is probably a summer day there. So we're at two different ends of the U.S. today speaking about the holidays. But before we get started, give us a little synopsis of who you are for our guests and listeners who will be listening to this later in download or iTunes, and let us know a little bit about you.
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me on, Felice, and you and I have been connecting online for years and years, and all of you listening, I've been with some of you before, too, through the homeschool events online, and so great to be back. Who would love to just continue this relationship, and Felice, we love to have you on our show a lot, too. You guys, what I do is I am just a busy mom, kind of like you, except I'm done homeschooling now. Homeschooled three kids, K through 12, and they're all off on their own now and doing great, so that's fun. And then now we have a restaurant. Yeah, I know. We have a restaurant, a retail store, and then that I manage from home. And then I also have an online program at Marnie.com, and that's M-A-R-N-I-E.com. And that's kind of where this holidays shortcut stuff is at and where a lot of other training stuff is at.
Yeah, and, you know, Marnie, we met years ago when I think I was talking about writing and publishing on your show, and Marnie has a great show, Marnie and Friends, on Blog Talk Radio. So how do they find that, Marnie? I know that's the name of your show. Should they just look that up?
Yeah, the easiest way is just to go to Marnie.com, and then you can just find everything. There's search boxes there, and you can just find everything directly there. Because there's so much, like Felice, you're part of the womenspeakers.com, which is the largest online directory of Christian women speakers in the world. That's there, as well as if you want to find out what women's events like Beth Moore or Women of Faith or anything like that, if you want to find out what's coming to your area, that's all at Marnie.com in the event zone. So there's all kinds of stuff there. And if you just always just go to Marnie.com and search for what you need, that's the fastest way.
Yeah. And, you know, she just has so much information on her site. If you are ever interested in, growing your speaking and getting in front of an audience, Marnie has a wonderful group that is, has a lot of information and also connections, right, Marnie? Your speakers,
absolutely.
Women's,
Just
so much information over there.
For writers and speakers and even small business owners and managers, and women's ministry leaders, that's the other one that I do a lot, women's ministry and event planners, so if you're planning retreats or things like that. So there's 12 life zones over there, so there's just a ton of information, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah. I know. When I look at what you're doing, Marnie, it makes me feel better that I'm not the only crazy one out there.
Crazy women. I'm crazy women.
Yeah, ideas and everything. Well, listen, you've got so many great ideas, and especially about shortcuts and saving time, and I have several of your ebooks that really are well thought out and put together that help busy moms with shortcuts. And, you know, it doesn't mean that you completely have to go buy everything prepared. We do some of that, of course, all of us do, just in the saving of time. I know the other day I went to a party, and normally I'm a from scratch, everything kind of person. I mean, my kids are thrilled to get an Oreo in this house, okay, because we don't buy
store-bought
cookies. And Mommy doesn't like Oreos. Daddy, on the other hand, loves them. but so that they don't come into this house very often. But I was like so proud of myself for bringing some appetizers and things that like max prep time was maybe 10 minutes. And I was just, you know, it was guilt-free, which normally I would have been feeling very guilty about. But I really have learned at your feet, you know, along with others, that I can get rid of the guilt. And sometimes you're just going to have to do an appetizer or something easy that everybody loved. You know, if anyone hasn't found out about the cream cheese and the pepper sauce, I think it is. It's like a sweet and sour, and you just heat it up, and you put it, you just pour it over the cream cheese, and you know, get some really cool crackers, and everybody loves it. So, you know, tell us first of all. I've thrown a lot of stuff out there, so tell us first of all about your shortcut books, and then we'll get into some specifics.
Right. Well, I've written 12 books, and the last three that were published are part of the Marnie Method series for super busy women, and they are called Feeling Loved, which is connecting with God in the minutes you have, because so many people were telling me, Felice, I just, you know, I know God's there. I know he hears me. I love him. I want to know him better. I just don't have time, or I don't know how to do it, or I always feel guilty no matter how much time I do spend. So all of these different things. So I wrote this book called Feeling Loved, which is just how to connect with God in the minutes you do have, and how he really does long for the relationship with you even more than you long for that with him, and that he's really okay that you have other things to do in the day other than just sit down and talk to him. So he's cool at that. So Feeling Loved is about how to do that. Then the second one is Minute Memoirs, and that's a shared journal of how to capture, like, the stuff that's in everybody in your life. They have stuff in their head that you just want to get out, like, you know, what was your first car, or, you know, where have you been traveling, or different things like this. And so I created a shared memoir book that's called Minute Memoirs. And then the third one is Kitchen Shortcuts, and that's the revised and updated edition of my first book, which is Kitchen Shortcuts. And that book is how to get out of the kitchen quick and save money. And that's what you were talking about just now with your quick to fix. I mean, you made it from scratch. It wasn't that you didn't make it from scratch. And I thought, Felice, you know what I thought you were going to say you were proud of yourself because you went and you bought something that was pre-made, and I was going to cheer for you.
It was cream cheese, and I heated up the pepper sauce. That doesn't count.
Yes, it does. You know what? It really does. And I think that what's important is for us to just step back and to say, you know, where's my value system? What do I want out of life? What do I want to hold myself to? And what am I going to be okay with myself? And so when I do the holiday shortcuts training, what I do is I kind of take the best of all this, how it applies to the holiday. And there's actually 8 zones during the holidays, ladies, that you are responsible for, which is why you feel stress, because there's a lot of extra work to do. There's like, I would say there's almost 100 hours of extra work that you do between just before Thanksgiving and December 31st, 100 extra hours. Wow. And you don't get 100 extra hours, but you have to do all this work. So you've got, you know, the holiday traditions, everything that you do around the holidays, and all the extra events and the parties and the exchanges and all that. And then you've got you still need to find time for yourself, your personal time and rest. You still need to figure out what you're going to eat and where you're going to find time to exercise. You still have to feed your family something for breakfast, lunch, and supper every single day, and figure out how to do that healthfully with all the junk around all the time. And then you have your Christmas cards and letters, which by itself can push a lot of women right over the edge. And then you've got your tree and your home decorating, which is a huge task. And then you've got all of your gifts. You've got not only your own gifts, what you're going to give, how much you're going to spend, when you're going to wrap it, when you're going to ship it, all that. But you've got not only that, but you're also juggling that for your children and usually for your spouse. And then you've got, in addition, the small project of all of the holiday meals and party hosting and the shopping for all that. So if you think, why do I feel stressed out during December? It's because there's a reason. You've got all this to do. So what I help women do with the holiday shortcuts and the holiday boot camp is I help you to step back, take a deep breath, and decide how you actually want to feel when you're done with the holiday season. Because, Felice, if you just go through it doing the next thing, I promise you will be exhausted and you will be a little bit disappointed, because you're doing stuff that you don't have to do and that is really not value added. stuff. And so what happens is at the end, you're exhausted and you kind of want to kick yourself because you are, and you know that you maybe didn't have to be as exhausted as you are. So that's what I help you do, is just to figure out what you should drop, what you should keep.
Yeah, and that is important. I was reading the chat room, and one of the moms, Jackie, goes, they're wanting to eat. What's up with that? You know?
I know. That's so irritating.
That's really true. I know. But it was so funny because last week, you know, we have like a little checklist that I came up with, and I'm not a big checklist person. If I was, I would really accomplish a lot. I'm one of those that has it in my head, but I, you know, had it in my office, and I had it in a file, and I found it as I was cleaning up. And because I just decided these times of years are also clean up and declutter. This is not the right time to do it, but I do it now, you know, because we have company coming and things like that. And so this weekend was supposed to be a time where we do some cookie baking, and I stopped you know, friends and everything else, the hairdresser, the, you know, the mail person, all those people no longer get home-baked cookies because it was really a chore. It was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a cookie factory is what it was. So now we just do things for our immediate family and, you know, Christmas and things like that. And so I love to bake. That is my stress relief, and I really, really enjoy it, or I probably would get rid of that too. Cleaning, not so much, but that's one of those non-negotiable things. So, you know, we were in the midst of that, and then I realized I don't have anything for dinner. So, you know, it was great to be able to just run out and take a break, and, you know, like I do cookie dough just one day. That's all I make. It's all the dough and stick it in the refrigerator. And I, you know, of course, the family's like, you know, do we at least get one tray of cookies? And I'm like, sure, have at it. Here you go. Here's the dough and the cookie sheet. You know, because my youngest is 13 now. So, you know, they're very capable. And so it was great. I just went and bought some rotisserie chicken. I bought two of them, huge ones. And, of course, there's leftovers and things for the next day. So, you know, just preparing ahead like that can really save us, you know, and the day before with pizza and with leftovers. So, you know, just a couple of days when I'm baking, I do not cook. So there is, you know, those kinds of things that I've done, you know, more for self-preservation because otherwise I would be burnt out. And my stress relief, you know, it's so much fun to do and have, you know, the smell of home-baked cookies just does something to my soul. makes me happy, you know. And so I think we have to look at that too, don't we, Marnie? You know, it's got to be more of the whole person and not so much I'm doing this because I want people to like me.
Oh, absolutely. And there's a couple things that you talked about here that I hope we have time to touch on. First is how you decide what you're going to do and what you're not going to do, because that's so important. Second is what you're going to do about basic family meals during the month of December, because it gets so insane. And you can just end up, you know, grabbing fast food every single night if you're not careful. And so I have a strategy for that. And then another one is how to think about the gifts and how to go forward with that. So let's start with traditions, Felice, because this one, if you will do this little project, it's just a little exercise you can do. You take a piece of paper and you divide it into three columns. And on the left column, you write down the name of, you just write down all of your traditions. And the point I want to really make here is that everything you do during the holidays is based on a tradition. So, for example, if you go to a different culture, or even if you go down the block a little way to a different home, they will have different traditions than you do simply because they're not you. They didn't have the same input as you did. They didn't do it the same way you did. So their traditions are different. Now, there's some things in common, but if you go around the world, there are very few things that everybody does. So everything you do during the holiday, from how you get your tree, if you get a tree, how you decorate your tree, what day you put it up, what day you take it down, every last thing is a tradition. So if you make this list of traditions on the left side, just all your traditions, and then the next column over, it's an investment column. How much does it cost? So just write how much at the top of that column. And then write down in either dollars or time how much that costs. And some of them are both dollars and time. They're very expensive both ways, or they're very inexpensive both ways. The final column is the who cares column. You want to write who cares over there. Because, you know, when I did this a couple years ago, Felice, what was amazing to me is I had like 4 or 5 traditions that I was doing every year that I couldn't think of one person, including myself, who cared. Nobody cared. But because we had always done it, I kept doing it. So guess what I did? I just crossed out. And I just saved myself all that time and money right off the bat. And most people, when they go through this, they find, okay, there's certain things on here that I'm the only one who cares. Or maybe it's your daughter. She's the only one who cares. So maybe let's say, example, there's a Christmas village, and she's the only one who cares about the Christmas village. You used to care, but now you don't care. But she's vested into it. So what you want to do on those is you want to actually delegate. You want to just talk to the person who does care. And you want to just say, no, this holiday season is so rushed, and I am not going to have time to do blank this year. Would you consider doing it? Now, all of a sudden, you're going to have a real aha moment here, because either the person who you thought was the only person vested in that tradition is going to go, I'd love to do that. I love the Christmas village. Or they're going to say, oh, you know, I never really cared very much about that anyway. And you're going to realize that you were spending, you know, 1 to 3 hours doing something that nobody in the world cared about. So you can just let it go. Now, the important thing is, if somebody cares, don't just throw it out the window. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater here. Throw out the stuff that nobody cares about. And then the stuff somebody cares about, ask that person if they want to take it. And ladies, we have a really hard time delegating. This is one of the key things that you have to understand as a woman. You don't really like to delegate. What you like to do is you like to have people read your mind. And you like to just do it the way you would do it. And then you like to kind of come behind them and fix it if they didn't do it the way you would do it. That's not delegation. That's control. So what you want to do is you want to just really, truly delegate. Now, you want to go back to the who cares column, and you want to say, did I really care about it? Because if you really cared, you need to put your name down there. And then you can own it, okay? Then you can do it. But if you didn't really care, then it's really okay if your daughter takes this Christmas village and doesn't have it look the same way it looked when you did it. You don't care, remember? Mm-hmm. So don't care. Let it go. Right. You're going to love this new way of thinking. It's a little hard at the first, but you're going to love it. Then the second thing is the things that you care about. You really want to now, you want to go back to that middle column, and you want to go, okay, I really love, like Felice, your example, I really love baking cookies. But what you did is you went, who cares? Now, it's possible that the postman and, you know, all those people did care when you gave them cookies. It's also possible that that wasn't enough motivation to keep doing it that way, and that that's why you made the change. So when you get to that middle section of how much the cost is there, you really want to say, okay, is this worth it to me? Is it worth it for me, for them? And you really want to analyze that, and you want to either reduce or eliminate the things that are just simply too costly. And we will do this for other people. We will rarely do it for ourselves. And girls, I want to just tell you that if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy at the holidays. You can make it or break it for your families by overcommitting yourself. So I encourage you that it is the most selfless thing to take care of yourself during the holidays. I want to give you permission to do that and
very
encourage
good.
You to do it. Yeah.
Very good. Yeah, and, you know, you have to really, remove yourself sometimes from that guilt. I know for me that, you know, my love language is let me bake for you.
I love it.
Where my husband would rather me spend time with him, you know, than bake him something,
sure.
Although he does have such a sweet tooth that if there isn't anything sweet, but I found out I could keep a jar of chocolate kisses, and he really enjoyed that. If I bring M&Ms into this house, they're gone. Like, this family can devour, you know, M&Ms like you've never seen, but the candy kisses last longer. So, you know, as long as there is some little sweet thing for him to nibble on when he gets home, or, you know, walks through the kitchen, it doesn't necessarily have to be a cookie or something like that, which is, you know, healthier anyway. We don't, you know, thankfully we don't have weight issues, but, you know, health-wise, it's not great to have all that sugar anyway. So, you know, it's really, looking at, what you can comfortably do in the time that you have, because let's face it, Marnie, we don't have a lot of time. And in that intro, when you were telling us all those things, you know, all those extra hours that we need, well, no wonder we're frazzled, you know,
right.
If you don't really look at it like that. And, you know, you have this great boot camp, and, you know, it really is a wonderful thing. If you're listening to this late in the season, it's still something to go get and, you know, purpose to do earlier next year. But you have this wonderful set where you have a holiday balance wheel, and I know you did this in another seminar that you did for our expo, and I have it. You know, I love that holiday balance wheel. Just tell me a little bit about that and the boot camp.
Well, right, and one of the things when you get something from Marnie.com, like next year we'll update the holiday boot camp, the actual manual for you, so that when you buy it once, you get all of the updates in the future, so that you'll have the actual calendar, you'll know what date is the last date to ship without extra fees, and make sure it gets there on time. All those kind of things are in there. So once you go through this like manual the first time and you write your stuff down, you'll have that next year. And just like you said, Felice, you found a list in a drawer and it helped you. It is so helpful for us if we don't have to reinvent the wheel every time around. So what you do is you get the system in place and then you just tweak it. You look at it kind of like a recipe in a book. A list is just simply a recipe. And so what you do is you make the recipe and you go, you know, our family would have really liked that with a little more whatever, tomato sauce or whatever. And so you tweak the recipe to make it your own. That's exactly what you want to do with your holiday lists. You want to tweak your lists to make them really personal and really workable, functional for your family. But the holiday balance wheel is what it is it's those eight categories we started with. And you just take a circle and you divide it into eight categories. And then you score yourself on each of the eight categories, not by how much you already got done, because some of this you won't get done until Christmas is over. You won't be done. But you score that by your peace level. So if you think about your holiday meals and party hosting that's coming up, how do you feel about it? Does it make you stressed out? If it makes you feel scared or nervous or stressed out, it would be like a 0 or a 2. If you feel totally prepared and ready, like it's not all done, of course, because it's not the holiday that you're serving it on or that you're hosting the party, but you feel like you've got it well under control, you've got, you know, it's all organized and planned and you're ready to go, then you give yourself a 10. Most of the time in these categories, you're somewhere well between a 0 and a 10. Hardly anybody is at a full 10 or a full 0. But what you want to do is you want to go through these eight categories, which are holiday traditions and events, personal time and rest. Number 3 is personal diet and exercise. Number 4, healthy family meals. Number 5, Christmas cards and letters. Number 6, tree and home decorating. Number 7 is gift ideas, budgeting, buying, wrapping, and shipping. And number 8 is holiday meals and party hosting. You go and you give yourself a score on each of these spokes of the wheel. And what you're going to do here is you're going to find out that you've got some areas of your holiday season that you are well prepared to handle. You have peace about it. You know exactly what's coming at you. You're fine. And you've got a few that you score really low. So if you think of it as a wheel, on those low ones, what happens is your wheel is going around just fine, and then it goes to thunk, just like a flat tire would. And it slows you down, and it's painful, and every time it goes around and hits that spoke, you feel that. It increases your stress level. So what you want to do is you want to work on the first, even this year, you can still work on the ones that you score low on, so that you can have a more robust, enjoyable, well-rounded, well-balanced holiday season. And then after the holidays, of course, you take this to your whole life, and then you do the life balance wheel, and you keep going forward with that.
Mm-hmm. Really, really good practical advice, Marnie, and that's what we often get from you. So it's so great. Well, we're going to take a real quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. What is the one thing that if you could change it would have the biggest impact on your future? Pause for just a moment and really think about that. If you could change only one thing and that one thing would have a big impact on your future, what is the one thing you'd choose to change? Hi, my name is Marnie Swedberg and I've helped over 13,000 leaders from 30 countries discover and change their one thing, and I'd love to help you. Just visit Marnie.com, that's www.marnie.com. Select the zone in which your one thing resides, and then let's change it. Why wait another day, another week, another year to make the one change that will have the greatest impact on your overall life experience? Instead, let's do it today.
Yeah, do it today at marnie.com. That's www.marnie.com.
Hi, and welcome back. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and I'm your host for Vintage Homeschool Moms. And today with me on the line, I have Marnie Swedberg. And Marnie, you are a let's do it now kind of person, and we're discussing today some holiday tips and hints to make our life a little bit better during the holiday season and not so stressful. And, you know, in our conversation, we were talking about some meals, and let's talk about some basic family meals without having to go out. Now, I did go out a couple of times last week for not quite fast food, but, well, pizza would be. But, you know, I love the rotisserie chicken, something I can't make at home. So, you know, what are some things that you have some ideas for, you know, some shortcut meals so we don't have to be running to the store all the time?
Well, first of all, you should grab a piece of paper, and this is something everybody should do, whether you feel stressed out right now or not. You should grab a piece of paper, and you should write down your five favorite family quick-to-fix meals. And this is going to be different for every family. I mean, I do these holiday boot camps live with groups, too, and it's amazing. Everybody has their own thing, you know, and you're going to hear a couple of my examples, and you're going to rule them out right away and say, well, we don't eat that. Or that's fine, because
right.
all you want is
right.
you want your own family's five favorite quick to fix. And by quick to fix, I mean quick. I mean 15, 20 minutes maximum from start to finish. Okay, so your list might include spaghetti. It might include hamburgers. It might include mac and cheese with hot dogs. It might include a salad out of a bag. It might, you know, whatever your family would like to eat quickly, that's just a quick-to-fix meal. You want to write down five of those meals. So that's step number one, is you want to really just take a couple minutes and brainstorm. Now, some of the ones that we really like are like a pasta base. And I always use angel hair pasta because it cooks up in like 2 to 3 minutes. It's very, very fast. It's just a finer hair, and that can also come in the whole grain. But it's just a much faster cooking. And then I just use on top of it either a spaghetti or an Alfredo or whatever. And you can make these up very, very quickly. Now, whatever your list of five are, then the next thing to do is to make up a grocery list, or hopefully you already have a grocery list, but make this grocery list up of the ingredients that it requires to make your five favorite meals. The next time you go shopping, you want to buy everything you're going to buy anyway, and these ingredients. Now, the first time you do this, it's going to be a little bit of a financial hit because you're going to be buying ingredients for five meals that you may not even eat this week, but every time you use up those ingredients for one meal, it goes right back on your shopping list, so that always, always, always in your house, you have the ingredients for these five meals. What that's going to do now is that is going to free you up so that you can go ahead and plan to make, let's say, lasagna tomorrow night. And then you're going to realize, oh, no, we can't do it tonight because now we have to go, you know, see somebody who's in the hospital or whatever you have to do all year long, let alone at the holidays you've got all this extra stuff. But this happens all the time to us. Things come up and
right.
you can't do the plan. Now, in the same 15 minutes that you would literally go to the drive-thru, wait in the line, pay the big money, get the burgers and the fries and eat those, you can actually make your quick-to-fix meal at home, and you know for sure that you got everything you need to do it, and you don't even have to use your brain. It's all done for you. All you have to do is just employ your body, and you can even talk to on the phone or something while you're doing that. So once you have this system in place, it really frees you up to be as busy as you need to be on that day and still get your family a meal on the table. The other thing I like to do then is kind of the extension of that one is I like to do the same exact thing for impromptu guests. So during the holidays or any time of year, maybe you have people that just stop by without any kind of notice. So what you want to do is you want to have the same process in place for your impromptu guests. So what I have is I have the ingredients for the punch that I like to serve, which my favorite hands-on punch, just that I always have, is a 2-liter bottle of strawberry Schweppes and a 1-pint container of frozen strawberry sorbet or sherbet or whatever you would want there. And you can actually do these in the different colors. You can do green with lime, you know, whatever color you like. But anyway, if you have this bottle of Schweppes and this pint of of ice cream. All of a sudden, guess what, Ken? You just whip that out, and you have a nice punch. And then Felice, your example earlier is a great one to keep on hand, just a jar of the jalapeno jelly and a thing of an 8 ounce of cream cheese and then a box of crackers, and you just put this somewhere where, okay, if after 4 months it's not used, then you pull it out and, you know, take it to a party with you.
Make
or something
a cheesecake.
I mean, the crackers, don't keep the cream cheese for much.
Yeah, that's true.
but you don't want to keep them forever. But at the same time, if this is something that happens to you, just have it on hand. Another thing that I have just had on hand through the years, and I don't do this one right now, but just keeping on hand vanilla ice cream and then the recipe to make homemade chocolate syrup, which is very easy. In my book, it's just a 1 + 1, 1 + 2 + 3. So I think you go like a quarter cup. If you go a quarter cup cocoa, unsweetened cocoa powder, and then a half cup, that's two. And that is going to be, the half cup is going to be milk, and then one, actually, so it's 1 + 2 + 4. So, and then one cup of sugar. And you just mix that all together and heat it up, and you've got a wonderful, delicious homemade hot fudge for your ice cream. It's interesting, if you have these where you just know them and you can just whip them out, then you have just this ability to just relax. You can relax on a busy day because you know you've got supper covered. You can relax if people are coming over. You don't have to run in your kitchen. You can actually pick up the house a bit so that, you know, when they come, it's okay. So I just think if you have these systems in place, it frees up your brain to enjoy what's happening in the moment.
Oh, right. And that is. And, you know, I tend to make double meals. Like when I make lasagna, I'll make three or four of them and stick them in the freezer. And it was so funny because my dad was in New York. My dad lives with us. And for those of you that follow the show, I talk about my dad a lot. So, because I still get in trouble, Marnie. He was a cook that owned a restaurant, so you understand. And, you know, everybody has their own little way of doing things. But when he was in New York for a few weeks visiting, I made lasagna. So he comes home, and I think, oh, this will be a great thing. I can just take out a lasagna, go to the airport. You know, we'll be able to pop that in the oven. And so he's looking at me and smiling as he's eating dinner. And I said, what? What did I do wrong? You know, my husband just thinks it's so great that we can all discuss it very calmly. Like, my feelings aren't hurt. As you can hear, I'm kind of giggling. And he goes, you know what you did? And I said, I know, Dad. I did not brown the – he thinks you need to brown the ground beef with onions because it gives it more flavor. And I just brown the ground beef because I don't want to bother with the onions. And he'll even add olive oil. Like, do we need that much fat? You know what I mean?
Right.
So everybody has their own way. So it was really cute because he said, well, how many more do we have of these in the freezer? And I said, two. And he goes, okay, well, plan for that for the next 2 weeks because I'm making lasagna for Christmas. I was not serving that to our guests. But it was great because we had, you know, meals already done, and the rest of the family didn't think the ground beef needed to be browned with the onion. But, you know, so we do a lasagna in addition to some of the things we do for Christmas because it does add, you know, food when you have a crowd. And especially, like, the little kids don't really like a lot of the, you would think they would just love turkey and baked ham or whatever else you're having. And also I can bring that, you know, to a potluck and things like that.
Exactly.
But I love that. Love to have the stuff on hand because it really does help. So that's great. And yeah, we were talking too about go ahead.
Yeah, that's where I wanted to go.
Okay.
We were talking about delegating, and that's what was triggered in my heart too, is when you were talking about that, because it's actually more important that you are okay with your decision than other people are okay with your decision. And, of course, Felice, you didn't make the lasagna thinking I'm really going to kick Dad off. I mean, that wasn't what you were going for. At the same time, it's really okay that people have different taste preferences. I remember years ago, a lady came over to a holiday event I was hosting in my home. And the whole time she kept looking at my tree, just shaking her head. And I was noticing that something about my tree was bothering her, but I was hosting and not really having the opportunity to talk to her. Finally, she blurted out loud. She said, I know what's the matter with that tree. It doesn't have any tinsel on it. And I thought that was the funniest thing because I would never even consider putting tinsel on my tree. But her trees were naked if they didn't have tinsel on them. Okay, so the question here is it a requirement for a tree to have tinsel or for hamburger to have onions in order for them to be okay? No, it's not. But in some people's mind, actually, yeah, it is in their own mind.
Right.
That's really how they would build it. That's really how they were hungry for it or wanted to see it. And so you're going to have to just let them deal with their disappointment there. You didn't do it on purpose. You didn't do it to hurt their feelings. It's just the way that you do it. And you could go to 10 different homes. I use this illustration during the boot camp. And one house would be decorated with candles everywhere, just this amazing ambiance. And another house would just have candy dishes everywhere. You wouldn't see a candle anywhere, but they'd have candy dishes everywhere. You know, and every home you go to, we're going to be different. The main thing, girls, is that you are okay with how you do it, that you love it that way, that it's really you. It is really,
right.
And during the holidays, and we talked about the need to not run over people. If they have a favorite tradition, don't just throw it in the trash if you don't love it. But when it's your home, when you're entertaining, when it's your decorating or whatever, love it or lose it. Don't try to please everybody. You'll never succeed, ever, never. There would be another person at that party who would look and go, gosh, there's a lot of tinsel on that tree.
Yeah, here's a question.
You know,
and here's a question for you, Marnie, and it's right on the heels of this, and I didn't notice, I didn't refresh my Q&A screen here, and it's so funny. The question is, how do you deal with disappointing people? And obviously, I think we've all been through that, you know, where we've just taken it personally, and it's really hard to overcome. So do you have any, wise words here that you can help people,
Absolutely. When I teach the holiday balance wheel or the life balance wheel, but we're talking holidays right now, so let's just stick with that. When you take the time to get into peace in these eight zones with whatever it is, with whether it's your Christmas letters or cards, how you're going to do that, how you're going to host or make food, how you're going to do the gifts this year, when you take time to get into peace with yourself between you and God, I'm at peace with how I'm going to go forward with this, you will be able to withstand the most outrageous, the most inappropriate attacks on how you did it. But if you have not taken the time to be personally okay with your process, with how you're going about it, if you feel any twinge of guilt about that at all, then you are susceptible to any small, any really even unintended just small word of discouragement. And you will find that if you don't get into peace in these eight zones, that you are highly susceptible to having a meltdown at some point during the holidays where you say or do something or you need to go in your room and cry because you didn't do your homework first. And so more important than all of these things that you are doing is how you are being. How is your heart? And that's always, I am such a doer, I'm such a Martha in this world and such a doer, but first I am a Mary. I just believe in being with Jesus all the time through all of this, letting him orchestrate it, letting him live through me, and then go and do everything. And I do a ton, you know that. And you guys, I know you do a ton. You are doing so much, but the most important thing is to sit at the feet of Jesus for just a little bit and get clear with him what he expects from you. Do it with all your heart and let it be what it is. He had people in his life who were terribly disappointed with him. I think about the day that he walked out of the pool of Bethesda and he only healed one man. How could he do that? But it was because that was all his dad wanted him to do that day, heal one man and walk away. And we got to be willing to do that. And so I just encourage you, get at peace with your own self. And, that's why I do everything I do, Felice, is because it's really hard for gals. We have so many things on our platter and things that people expect from us and worse things we expect from ourselves that nobody even cares about and to how to balance all of that and how to really live a joyful life.
Oh, so important. And that is the one thing that there's no, it's just not negotiable. And that's my time with the Lord every day. And my kids, again, it's my season. You know, I was out of season for a while when I had my second group of little ones. But I'm now back in that season, and my kids know, you know, mom needs that time, and they also follow suit. So when we're all instilled in the morning, it really makes the day go so much better than when I start the day wrong and don't do that. Because we try to go on our own steam, and that's when we run out of steam. And, you know, not to say that every day is going to be perfect and we're not going to be failing each day, but at least for me, the burden of guilt, it can, you know, especially I would say Italian families have really got that guilt thing down. So, you know, you just sometimes have to shrug the things as a task as well, and it isn't necessarily even something that is being put on you, you know, by your family, but you're just feeling, you know, everyone out there does like to bake, you know, I use that as an example, and you just feel like you're letting everyone down if you don't bake and you hate it. Then, you know, that's something that, you know, like we talked about, you know, is delegating that out. You know, just like when I ran out to go get dinner, I could say to the kids, you know, sure, you want to make cookies? Not something I'm going to do today, but you're welcome to make a tray of each, you know, and let's get started if you want to do that, which, of course, they've already eaten, Marnie. But, you know, we'll make them as they want them, and then I'll make some for Christmas, and we'll be set and be all set to go. Yeah. But you just can't, you know, I couldn't stop right then and make everybody cookies when I needed to go get dinner. And I was fine with it, and they were fine with it. You know, yeah. I think some moms really serve their family and do it with all their heart. But I think without delegating a little bit, you know, it's going to be, it's difficult. It's difficult to get it all done.
Oh, absolutely. And the beauty of delegation is that it's the gift that keeps on giving, because once somebody learns how to do something, they can do it from then on. So it's difficult to delegate at first, but in the long run, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing, both for you, for your kids, for your spouse, for everybody.
Oh, it is. I have a fudge story, if I could share that for a minute. My in-laws love fudge, and it was something Grandma Mart made on my husband's side of the family. And so it's a difficult recipe. If anyone has made candy, you know, to get to that perfect temperature, and if you're trying to make candy in sunny, humid Florida, it's really another challenge. You know, it did turn into a homeschool science project when I could explain to the kids, you know, the differences in humidity from upstate New York to South Florida. But I would make it because everyone loved it. And I do not like this fudge. It's the hard, you know, crumbly, melt-in-your-mouth fudge. And they just love it. They love the texture. They love everything about it. You know, and I'm like, yeah, it takes, you know, an hour, and it messes the whole stove up and whatever. Well, my daughter, who really doesn't like to cook or bake, my boys, my 13 and 18-year-old, love to do anything. I think they love eating, so to them it's worth learning how to do brownies or whatever it is they want to make. But Annie just, you know, not. But she loved the fudge. So I said, you know, Ann, let me teach you how to make it. Well, she has perfected the recipe, and now her claim to fame is as good as Grandma Mart, who's gone on to be with the board now, you know. And everybody loves it. And even Jeff's youngest sister, who, for, you know, whatever reason, she can't eat dairy. So she couldn't even eat the fudge and was making it because it was, you know, tradition. And somebody has to make the Christmas fudge and send it to everybody. And nobody even lives, you know, everybody's in a different state. So she was delighted when Annie learned how to make the fudge. And Aunt's delighted that she has her one thing she does. She does it for my in-law's mother and, you know, her grandma and grandpa's birthday. Grandpa gets white fudge. Grandma gets chocolate fudge. And she was even late on the fudge this year because of Thanksgiving and how it fell. And we couldn't, you know, get into their schedule and baseball. And so we had a surprise party for my mother-in-law last week, and she gave her fudge, and Grandma said, you know, I'm so excited. I thought I was going to have to wait till Christmas, you know, like they're banking on the Christmas. But she loves making it, you know. And so that was such a burden off of me.
of having to add that to something. And, you know, it's a legacy, like you said. And, you know, if I had held on to it and, well, you know, I've got to make it, it's my duty, it's my obligation, you know, that was kind of how I felt. And I don't even like it. But she does, and so it all worked out. You know, and it's so wonderful when these things happen. They don't always, but when they do, we just praise God for, you know, he cares about the details, doesn't he, Marnie? The tiny little things.
He does. He really does. And it is so fun when we see a way to get out from under something that's been kind of a burden for us, and it becomes a joy for someone else. That is really a happy mixture there, and we can really find those if we know where to look.
That is so great. Well, Marnie, we are almost out of time here, and you know, before we go, you know, do you have any last thoughts you want to share with our listeners?
No, I do, and I hope that you guys will go over to Marnie.com, and that's Marnie.com. But the one last thing I want to just mention is that a lot of ladies really don't know how to relax. They know how to be amused or entertained, so maybe watch TV or read a book, something like that. But to truly be relaxed, you need to emerge from the engagement, whatever you're doing. You need to emerge feeling energized and ready to work. So, for example, for me, there's two things that truly relax me. Number one is sleeping. Actually, a nap is fantastic for me. I get up and it takes me a few minutes, but then I am really ready to go. And the other thing that really relaxes or re-energizes me is exercise. A good aerobic exercise, like running on an elliptical or swimming laps. When I'm done doing those two things, I am energized and raring to go. Now, for you, you're going to want to think through what are the things that really leave me relaxed and re-energized, ready to go. And by relaxed, I don't mean ready for bed. I mean relaxed to the point where you have really allowed your body and your brain to recharge for a short period of time, and now you're ready to go back to work. So many women just go all the way through the day, Felice. They go through day after day after day after day without ever truly relaxing their bodies except for at night during sleep. And you need more than that. You need to figure out what it is for you that allows you to recharge when you feel exhausted, because that is going to be so valuable for you. If you will actually allow your body to take just a little downtime, and then it's going to be ready to go back and really highly perform for you. Otherwise, what happens is once you start to feel exhausted in the day, you can tend to spiral down, 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 down. And you're still moving, but you're not getting much done. So in order to stay really productive, you want to learn what it is for you that really recharges you. When you have a few minutes, do that. Don't just go into amusement or entertainment, but actually fully recharge and then go back at it.
I love that. You know, for me in the evenings, I just love to relax in a bath. I don't always get to do it, but when I do, you know, it just really revives me. And, you know, for most people, it might just put them to sleep. But it does. It just relaxes me.
For me. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
For me, that puts me to sleep. If I take a bath or if I do a sauna or a whirlpool, then I have to go to bed.
So funny. Well, for me, it does. It just allows me to relax and just, you know, just think for a few minutes. And then, you know, normally I'll put in another 2 hours that evening, you know, with you know, laptop. And, you know, so I get out of dishes a lot of times that way.
Good to go.
So, yeah, we have enough. We have enough hands around here to help with so many things. So it's so great. So
great
to be with you, Marnie. And one of these days we will meet face to face. And
I'm so happy.
Yeah. I don't know if you're coming to Florida, but if you are, just look me up and I will make every effort to connect with you. I know, is your daughter still here? Did she move up to Minnesota with
you? Actually, she's been with us for a couple months here, and she's just getting ready to move back now on December 27th. So she came home for a short time. We've had so much fun having her here. I'm going to miss her to death. But, yeah, she's going to head back down now at the end of December to St. Pete. So, right, just north of you a little bit.
Oh, not,
so
not far. And we just need to get you down here. That's what we need. Can you imagine us in the same state, Marnie? Oh, no.
I know. going to be fun. All good. Well, everybody who's out there, happy day to you, but Merry Christmas to you most of all, and just praying for you that you'll have a wonderful holiday with your family and with Jesus.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Marnie, once again, for giving us such great and practical advice. And, guys, you can visit Marnie at marnie.com. That's M-A-R-N-I-E. Thank you, Marnie. God bless everyone. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
When people ask me what I do, I say I'm a published author. So many have shared that they've always wanted to write a book. Are you one of those people? Do you have a fiction or nonfiction you want to write but didn't know where to begin? How do you find a publisher or an agent? Or what about self-publishing? What are your choices? And what should you know before you get started? It is for you that I wrote the book, Writing and Publishing, the first book in the Information in a Nutshell series. This small book takes the average person about 4 hours to read. And in this time, you will gain an understanding of the publishing process with the knowledge that I'm the one guiding you through the process. Who am I? Felice Gerwitz, owner of Media Angels Publishing. I've been in the writing and publishing business since 1994, and I haven't looked back. And when you begin making money as an author, don't forget the book I published by Carol Topp, CPA, Business Tips and Taxes for Writers. Get both books at MediaAngels.com and begin your writing career today.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.